Welcome to Live Daf, your online Daf Yomi Shir.
Shalom Aleichem, welcome back. Today's Daf Yomi is Ksuvos Kuftalad. We are right on top of the Amud and right in the midst of describing what occurred on the day of Rabbi Akadosh's passing. Says the Gemara, Hahu Yoimo Denach Nafshe de Rabbi. On that day, the Rabbi passes away. Gozru Rabbonon Tanisa, the Chachamim, declared a day of fast, a Tanis, in order to daven for Rabbi HaKadosh's recovery. Ubo'u Rachmi, and they daven. Va'amri, and they declared, Kol man da Omar noch nafshe de Rabbi. Whoever dares announced that Rabbi HaKadosh passed away, Yidokir Bechorev, who'll be struck by a sword. Nobody give up. Keep on davening. Don't declare him as dead, as too ill to survive. Slika amse de Rabbi l'igra. So they're davening, and Rabbi's maidservant goes up to the upper floor, to the roof. Amra, and she started davening herself. El yoyne mevakshenes Rabbi. The malachim above are summoning Rabbi to Shemayim. Vatachtoinim mevakshenes Rabbi. And likewise, the tzaddikim down here below, amevakshin es Rebbe, they too want to hold on to Rebbe. Yehi ratzon, it should be your will, Hashem, sheyakufu tachtonim es helyonim, that the ones below the tzaddikim should override the elyonim. The tzaddikim davening for Rebbe's recovery should succeed. This is what she said initially. But given the chazoi, once she noticed that Kama Zimni, it's been many times the Ail Lebeis Akise, that Rebbe entered the washroom. Rashi says he was a Choli Me'ayim, suffering from an intestinal disorder. And when he had to go to the Beis Akise, V'cholat Tefillin, he would remove his Tefillin in deference to the Tefillin U'manach Lu'in, put them back on again afterwards. V'kum Mitztayer was very disturbing and distressing for him. It was difficult. So she saw him in pain. Amra, then she switched her attitude. He rotten. It should be your will, Hashem. Sheokufu atach elyoinim. It's atach toinim. The entourage in Shemayim should override the ones below. He should pass away. V'loi havu shaski rabon miliboi rachmi. Problem is, the Chachamim just kept on going. Davened. And he wouldn't pass away when they were still davening. So what did she do to stop them from davening? Shakla kuzo, she took a pitcher. Shadya mi'igra la'ara, she tossed it off the roof. It landed, crushed down below. It created a tumult. Ishtiku mirachmi. For that small moment, they stopped davening v'noch nafshei de Rebbe, which allowed Rebbe to pass away. This is like the story of David HaMelech, described in the Gemara and Shabbos. He couldn't pass away due to the fact that he was davening the entire Shabbos, learning the entire Shabbos, and the Malachim Avos had to take him away, so he went to the backyard and made a rustling sound, made a tumult amongst the trees, and he went out to check at the scene, and he stopped learning for that moment, and that's when he took him away. So Rebbe passes away, and the Chachamim apparently, felt something amiss. Amru le the Rabbanon, the Bar Kapara, the Rabbanon Tal Bar Kapara, one of the great Talmidim of Rabbi, Zil Ayin, go see what happened. Ozal Ashkechet de Nachnafshe, in fact, Bar Kapara goes and discovers Rabbi to have passed away. Kare le Levushe, so he did Kriya, Torah's Beged, as an expression of mourning, Ba'ahadri le Kare la Achori, but not wanting to display it publicly, he sort of turn the torn part to his back so they wouldn't see it. He returns and starts speaking to them. Pasach va'amar, he begins, Er Elam, the malachim in Shemayim, umetzukim, and the strong ones, the tzaddikim, who hold up the world down here. Both these groups, Ochsu bara nakodesh, they were sort of tug of warring. The Oren HaKodesh, the Rabbi HaKadosh. They were fighting over Rabbi. Nitzchu Er Elam Es HaMetzukim. Ultimately, the Malachim were victorious over the tzaddikim, v'nishba Aron HaKodesh, and the Aron HaKodesh was taken into captivity. So he hinted to them about what happened. Amru Leis, so they asked him straight out, Noch Nafshe? Do you mean that Rebbe passed away? Amru, he tells them, well, Atun Ka Amrisu, you have said it. V'ana Lake Amri Ka Amina, I didn't actually say it, but yeah, you guessed right. B'sh'as Petirasei Shel Rebbe, says the Gemara, when Rebbe passed away, Zokav Eser Esbo'isav Klapei Mala, he turned his 10 fingers upward towards Hashem. Omar, and he declared as follows, Ribbono Shel Olam, Hashem, Master of the World, Goloi V'yidola Fanecha, it is known and revealed to you, Sheyogati Be'eser Esbo'isav B'Torah, I took all my efforts, all my 10 fingers, so to speak, and I invested them in Torah. Every ounce of my body was invested in Torah effort. And I had not derived pleasure from this world, even a small measure of pleasure, which would equal a small measure of effort corresponding to one of my fingers' efforts involved in Torah. So it was sort of an analogy, sort of a mashal. He was trying to say that even a small amount of partaking from this world, I didn't do that. Yiratzim lefanecha, it should be your will, Hashem, sheyehi shalom b'mnuchasi, that my rest should be peaceful. Yotzes a baskel v'armo, in fact, a baskel calls out in response, yovei shalom yanucha al mishkevoisim. Interestingly enough, there's a Tosfos in Avodah Zarah, Maseches Avodah Zarah, asks on this Gemara, how could Rebbe HaKadosh make this declaration? They had nothing from this world. The Gemara tells us that Rebbe and Antoninus, his parallel amongst the Romans, these two leaders were so wealthy that they had all types of delicacies throughout the entire year, even out of season. They had tznoin v'chazer, everything they needed on their tables. And here Rebbe says he partook nothing from this world. Says Tosfos, because Rebbe wasn't personally benefiting. It was just part of royalty to have all that, but he himself was so separate and elevated. The Tur in Siman Reshap Lamed Aleph in Aruch Chaim says, the idea is to elevate everything to Hashem, so perhaps, some of Arshim point this out, that, you know, Rebbe HaKadosh lifted his fingers up to Hashem. He says, everything was for you, even my hanois in this world, even my pleasures, were all for the sake of Hashem, to further my service to you, to enable me to grow in Torah and Yirat Shemayim. It wasn't for myself. I wasn't indulging in this world per se. It was all for you, Hashem. In any case, a pretty astounding statement. Every bit of my effort was invested in Torah. Nothing else. Tosfos over here brings a medrash. Ad she'odam mispalel, this is about 4 lines from the top, tamrin v'medrash, ad she'odam mispalel, before a person daven, everything, you need to daven for everything, but before you daven, to have success in Torah, that's really, you know, step two. Ad she'odam mispalel, she'ikonez Torah l'techkufay, before you daven, to be zoicha to Torah, yispalel, before that comes another tefillah, shelo yikonzu, ma'adamim l'soich gufay, that Hashem should spare us from indulging this world. That's a precondition for really acquiring and absorbing the Heilige Torah. So in any case, the Baskel calls out, confirmed, Yanuchu al mishkevoisim. It's a pasuk in Yeshayin and Zayin. And the Gemara asks Akasha on that, on the wording in that pasuk. It begins with Yavai Shalem, right? He should come in peace, singular. And then, al mishkevoisim, they should rest. They should rest. It changes into plural. Al mishkavcha, or the girsa on the side, al mishkavoy miboyle. It should have kept it singular. He comes and he will rest in peace. Who is the Lashon Rabbim referring to? Answer: Misayei al Rav Chiya bar Gamda. It's a right to this shita, to this pshat. The Amar Rav Chiya bar Gamda. Rabbi Chiba Gam tells us in the name of Amar Yisrael ben Shaul, "B'shaul shat tzaddik niftam min olam, when a tzaddik departs this world, Oimrim malachei hasharus, Lifnei HaKadosh Baruch Hu. The Malachim. Turn to Hashem. Ribbono shel Olam Tzadik Ploni Bo. Listen, the Tzadik is arriving. Oyem Alehem. Hashem responds. Yevoyu Tzadikim. You know what? A group of Tzadikim from Gan Eden should go out and greet him. Ve'yetu l'krosi. They greet him and they tell him, Yaveh b'shalom, come, welcome, and peace. And then when they're done, everybody goes back to Gan Eden, Yonuchu, al meshkevaisim, they rest in peace on their abodes. That's why it's a Lashon Rabim, the multitude of tzaddikim that went out to greet him. Amar b'lozer, b'shoa shatzaddik nifter. In fact, when a tzaddik passes away, min ha'olam, sholosh kitos shel malachei ha'shoris, yotzeis l'krosei, he's greeted by three groups of malachim. Achas Imeres Leiboy Bishalim. One tells him, come, welcome, come in peace. You're going straight to Gan Eden. Vachas Imeres. A second group tells him, Hoylech Nichoycha. You're going to go directly to Gan Eden without any detours, without any difficulties. Vachas Imeres Leiboy Yavi Shalom Yenuchal Mishkevoysam. The third group tells him, look, you're going to rest in peace. You're going to have a peaceful, you know, abode in your kever without experiencing the difficulties called Chibut HaKever. So a tzaddik is spared from that difficult experience within the kever. In contrast to a rasha, b'shoasha, rasha ne'evad min ha'olam, when a rasha departs the world, sholosh kitos shel malachei chavola, yotzeis l'krosei, he's greeted by three groups of destructive malachim who tell him just the opposite. Achas emeres ein sholem, omar Hashem l'roshoyim, no peace. The second tells him, v'achas emeres lo'i l'matzeva, with sadness, yishochev, v'achas emeres lo'i rida, go down in the caver, v'hashkevas arelim, describing, referencing his difficult experience. Says the Mishnah, we know that the almana is entitled to mezonos after her husband's passing, and the ksuba as well. Is there any deadline in terms of her claiming the ksuba? All depends where she is situated. Kol zman shehi beveis aviyah. Suppose she's back home by her parents. Goyvo ksuvas al oilam. There's no deadline in terms of her claiming the ksuba. Kol zman shehi beis bala. As opposed to if she was stationed in her husband's home. In this case, there's a expiry date. Goyvo ksuvasa. Until when can she claim her ksuba? Ad Eshem v'chamish shanim, until 25 years. Why? Why the number 25? Answer is, sheyesh b'chafei shan, because within those 25 years, there's enough opportunity. You know, she's a good neighbor, and at times she will dispense various ingredients and supplies to her neighbors to keep up the positive neighborly relationship. And that all adds up and ultimately reaches the ksuba amount which she was entitled to, and now she's, so to speak, used it up. Shetasa toive keneg suvasa, because in all that time, she's dispensing all these ingredients, where she says melech and lechem to the neighbors. So when it's 25 years, she's already all paid up. Divi Rabbi Meir, she'amar mishum rabon Shimon Gamliel. This is Rabbi Meir in the name of Rabbi Shimon Gamliel. Dispensing all these ingredients is not really part of the deal. She isn't meant to do that, so after so many years, we assume all this generosity added up to a significant amount, which equal to the ksuba amount, which cancels her ksuba claim. The chachamim, they say differently, just the opposite. It's not about dispensing, you know, ingredients to your neighbors. You know, the yisayimim are certainly okay with that. There's no reason to deduct from the ksuba. Rather, it goes the other way around. Kol zman she beis bala, as long as she's staying here with the kids, goyve ksuvasa lo'ilam, she will continue to have the ksuba claim ongoing, no deadline. Kol zman she beis avi, however, if she transferred back home, goyve ksuvasa ad esrim v'chamish shanim, then it's a 25-year deadline. And Rashi explains, why do you wait so long? 25 years, that's a lifetime. So apparently, you forgave. You gave up. You were moichel de ksuba. But when you stayed here with the kids, there was reason to believe that she wasn't comfortable bringing up the ksuba topic. They were being so nice to her, serving her, in which case her silence and her lack of, you know, bringing up the ksuba on the table is not indicative in any way of her forgiving and foregoing that claim, and therefore there is no 25-year expiry date. Concludes the Mishnah, Mesa. Suppose the Amana passes away, in which case the ksuba claim gets passed on to her children. Yerusheha maskirin ksuba sa. So the Yershim have the opportunity to mention, to bring up the ksuba claim, again, ad eshrim v'chamei shanim. Again, it's the same idea, it's a 25-year deadline. Some say it means from her passing, some learn that it means from the husband's passing. But once you're past 25 years, it's assumed to be forgiven. Amalei Abayla Rav Yosef. Let's go back to Rav Meir for a moment. 25 years, you've given out, you know, the lechem and the melach to your neighbors. Your ksuba is paid up. Have a kasha. Not everybody has the same ksuba amount. Ani yoshebi Yisrael. A rather poor, you know, woman who has a basic ksuba without any frills, without any supplemental amounts. It's a total of 200 zuz. Ad esrim v'chamish shanim. So until 25 years, you have that claim, but once you hit 25 years, you've sort of used up the entire ksuba by way of dispensing the ingredients. Umarta bas baisis, esrim v'chamish shanim, and the same applies to the wealthy woman, Marta bas baisis, one of the most wealthy widows in Yerushalayim. Her ksuba was certainly of a greater amount. How could you compare the basic amount to the, enhanced ksuba, regular isha, to the wealthy isha? You're talking about apples and oranges. So many, the amounts are so different. So this 25-year rule of thumb, how can it apply equally? How could it be a set formula, irrespective of your ksuba amount? Amar Lehi responded, Lefum gam lo shichna. The size of the camel's load is proportionate to his ability to carry, which basically means the wealthier you are, and your wealth is reflected in your ksuba amount, the more generous you are and the more you give out. So ultimately, once you hit 25 years, it is assumed that you have already taken advantage of your entire ksuba amount. Iboilu, here comes an interesting question. If the point is that you're deducting because of the dispensations, Iboilu, the remeir ma'usha teshalish. What about prorating it? So we assume that in 25 years' time, you've sort of distributed the entire amount pertaining to your ksuba. What about halfway through, 12 years through? Do we deduct half the ksuba? What about 1 year through? Do we deduct a 25th? According to Rav Meir, Teiku, we leave it unresolved. V'chachamim aimrim kol zman. Amar li abayi l'Rav Yosef. According to Chachamim, they take on a totally different perspective. It has nothing to do with her giving out the things to the neighbors. Rather, once this reasonable amount of time had passed without any mentioning of the ksuba, it is assumed to have been forgotten. Asks Abayit Rav Yosef, what exactly do we assume she forgave the ksuba right at the moment, at the point of 25 years, at that second, and not a second before, not a second later? Asoy koydem shkia sachama. Let's say she comes running a minute before shkia on the last day of the year 25. So she has a right to claim the ksuba. 2 minutes later, after shkia, lo yavya. That's it. She lost her claim. What happened between those 2 minutes? Bahi purta. During that short period of time, achilta, you're assuming she gave up the ksuba. How does that make sense? Amar Lehi responds, and yes, correct. That's how you apply halachos with absoluteness, and it's just the way Torah works. Kol midas chachamim came. That's how chachamim applied all the measures and shiurim in the Torah. Kol midas chachamim came. Rabbi Chana Wasserman in Kovitz Shiurim writes that he meant to respond to him like this. He says, even when we speak about das of a person's mindset, it's not about, our psychological perspectives. Rather, it was all taught to us. It was all accepted from Har Sinai. So Moshe Rabbeinu was mekabel all these things, and he passed it on to the Chachamim, who gave over this determination that 25 years is the maximum time for the ksuba claim to still be considered active. So basically, she's sort of foregoing and giving up until we hit exactly 25, and that's sort of, you know, the conclusion of that mechila process. And it's a halacha like any other halacha. In fact, he brings the Rav in the beginning of Pirkei Avos. Moshe kibul Torah miSinai. Why is it so important to begin Pirkei Avos with a reference to Moshe Rabbeinu accepting the Torah from Sinai? So the Rav, the Bar Tanura, writes, the point is to highlight that midos toves, you know, all issues of propriety and etiquette, it's not a question of just societal norms and trends which change from one day to the next. Torah's midos toves, Torah's musar, Torah's way of life, the lifestyle of a yid in terms of his character traits and midos are not just guesswork and what appears to be proper and appropriate. Rather, it was also considered part of Hashem's Torah. Moshe kibul Torah miSinai. It's all rooted in the Torah. Our way of life, our perspectives, our midos are absolute and eternal. So bottom line is, kol midas chachamim came. The same thing applies to all measures, all midos taught us by the chachamim. I'll give an example. Keni, barboim s'o toivel. What about the shear of water in a mikveh? Chachamim tell us it's meant to hold an average person, but go figure who's an average person. It's something we can't really conclude on. Chachamim, no. It's 40 sa'ah. Barboim sa'ah tevel. Barboim sa'ah chasar kurtav. Let's say the barboim sa'ah is missing just even a drop. Eina yachay litboil. It's unsuitable for tefillah. Eina yachay litboil ben. Likewise, over here, the shear is sourced in the Torah and is absolute. Amar Avida Marav. Heyed Rabbi Shmuel Rabbi Yesi. Rabbi Shmuel, the son of Rabbi Yesi, testified. He presented. To whom? Lifnei Rabbi, to Rabbi HaKadosh. Sha'amar Mishum Aviv, he quoted his father, Rabbi Yesi. Lo Yishana, when do the Chachamim say? 25 years without a claim is considered forgiven. It's considered machul. Elosh ein shtar ksuba yoytze mitachas yadea. That's only if she's no longer in possession of the ksuba. Aval shtar ksuba yoytze mitachas yadea. Let's say she's still in possession of her ksuba. Goyvo ksuvas loylam. She continues claiming the ksuba without any deadlines, because if she would have wanted to give it up, she would have returned the ksuba to the family. The fact that she's holding on to it indicates that she's still holding on to the claim as well. That's Rav's opinion. Rabbi Lazar Omar, no, afilu ushtar ksuba, yoytze mitach yodeh, even if she's in possession of the ksuba, it's already 25 years, it's over, eino goiva ela ad esr mechamishanim, until 25 years and not further. Masar Rav Sheshes. It's going to be Akasha, on Rav, who says that if you're in possession of the ksuba, it's not deemed forgiven. Brisa says, Bal choyv goyve shalei b'haskara. Although when it comes to an almana, unless she said something within that 25 years, 25 is the deadline. But a bal choyv, a creditor, who has an ordinary monetary claim on his friend, he can collect and collect without any concern of deadlines, even without having mentioned, without haskara, even though he didn't bring it up for the last 50 years. Hey, Chidami, what are we speaking about? You know, this difference between an almana, who's considered to have given up, and Rashi explains, because, A, let's keep in mind, she didn't really, you know, lay anything out for this ksuba. Number two, they're treating her nicely. They're feeding her. So, there's good reason to believe that she just, you know, gave it up. But a bal chayv, why would he give it up? So we have that distinction. Hey, Chidami, what's the circumstance being discussed? Either lo yinakat shtar, if the Baal Chayv is no longer holding his shtar in his hand to back up his claim, but my Gavi, how would he claim it to begin with? How could he prove his claim? Elo denakat shtar, apparently we're speaking about the standard situation where he has a shtar chayv. And the Brisa draws that line between Baal Chayv, who can continue claiming, and the Almana, who cannot continue claiming, even though she has something in hand. Or Baal Chayv de la barichu, and Baal Chayv is not a fellow who we consider to have given up on his claim. There's no reason why he should have given it up. Ha almana achilta, but the almana is considered to having given up her claim. Almana achilta. Even though, as we just said, they are in full possession of their documents. We see it's not really dependent on that. Hu moisiv lo, v'hu mefarak lo. The same Rav Sheshes who presented this question He responded as follows. Loilam den loy nokishtara, perhaps was speaking that he's not holding a document. Not the Baal Chayv and not the Almana. V'achav ma'askinan, how then would the Baal Chayv collect on his claim? K'shechayev, when the Loive, who's the obligate, the responsible fellow, purportedly responsible, he's admitting to the loan that it was issued to him, so there's no question of verifying the event. However, he's saying, look, it's already 75 years gone by, you haven't said anything, give it up. And the answer is no, it's not forgiven. In contrast to the Almana, who's coming with a Shtar Ksuba, in which case we say, it's 25 years, it's up. One more kasha on this. V'amar B'la. R'B'la tells us, Shainin, the Tanoim, presented in the Brisa as follows. Gurusha, harihi kebal chayv. In contrast to an Almana who's being treated well, she's being fed, there's reason to believe that perhaps she forgave the Ksuba claim. A Gurusha, a divorcee, has no goodwill here. There's no reason for her to give it up. She is equal to a Baal Chayv, who maintains her claim regardless of the lapse of time. Hey Chidami, what's the case? Idelei nokita ksuba, if she's not holding the ksuba in her hands, b'maygavya, how would she come claim her ksuba? Elalav de nokita ksuba. Apparently she is in possession of a ksuba, and we say only a grusha could continue claiming. Ugrusha. Hidelav basechuli, only in a grusha, where there's no reason to believe she's meichel, she has the ability to maintain her claim regardless of the length of time. Ha'almana achilta. But apparently in Almana, where there's reason to believe or reason to suspect that she was Meichel, she's considered to have forgiven her Ksuba claim, despite the fact that we are holding a Shtar. This is inconsistent with Rav, who said that if there's a Shtar in hand, there is no Mechila. Hachanamik Shechayiv Moida, same materas as before. Perhaps there is no Shtar. How would a Grusha come to claim? Well, maybe they're in full agreement in terms of the fact that she never got her Ksuba. But the concern is that perhaps the lapse of time indicates mechila. The answer is no. Amar Rav Nachman Bar Yitzchak. Tani Rav Yehuda Bar Kaza. Rav Yehuda Bar Kaza presented a brice b'masnisa, which was learned in the Beis Midrash of the Bay Bar Kaza. Rashi says Bar Kaza was a chacham. So it's different. It's a different person than Rav Yehuda Bar Kaza's father. Otherwise, it would just say Tani Rav Yehuda Bar Kaza in the Mishnah of Kaza. It wouldn't say Bar Kaza. Bar Kaza is Rav Yehuda Bar Kaza. So there was a person with the name Bar Kaza. By the way, you know, the Gemara many times brings Rabba Bar Bar Chana. So there's a question, right? What does it mean? Rabba the son of Chana? Rabba Bar Bar Chana? Or does it mean Rabba the son of Bar Chana? Taisus actually asked this question. Taisus in Sanhedrin, I think it's Daf Hey, he says, Bar Chana was his name. So it was Rabba the son of Bar Chana. It brings a raya because the Gemara speaks about Bar Chana Sichsa. His name was Bar Chana. So his name was Bar Kaza. By the way, that's what Rashi is trying to address in the last Rashi on the page. Bar Kaza Shem Chacham. Why does Rashi have to say that? His name was Bar Kaza, not Kaza. Okay, in any case, the Brisa that he presented stated as follows. Tovak Subasa. Okay, the Isha gets up, 10 years after her husband's passing. And she, puts them on notice. I'm still going to be looking for the ksuba. You know what that does? Harihik batchil, it sort of resets the clock, and she starts the 25-year count again. Furthermore, v'im hayashtar ksuba yoytim tachas yoda. If it so happens that she is in possession of the ksuba, then there's no forgiving. Goyva ksuba salaylam, she can continue being goyva the ksuba, on and on. Otherwise, she would have returned the document. And this is in line with Rav Shita that we just had. Shalach l'Rav Nachman Bar Chisda. He sent a question. L'Rav Nachman Bar Yaakov. Yilam Midein Rabbeinu. Rebbe, please teach us. This halacha of Mechila, when is it? Kishashtar Ksuba Yetzim Metachas Yodim Achlegis. This whole discussion in the Mishnah applies to when she's holding the Ksuba, or even Oikushain. Shtar Ksuba Yetzim Metachas Yodim. Only when she has no Ksuba in her hand. That's number one. V'alocha k'diremi, I would like to know, regarding the halacha l'maisa, do we follow the chachamim's perspective on this halacha? It's a mechil-oriented issue, which only applies when she is back home, because as we explained, because when she's by the, hanging out with the family, she's uncomfortable bringing up the ksuba, in which case the 25-year period having gone by isn't really an indication of mechila. So that's the Chachamim's perspective. Reb Meir switches it around, just the opposite. The point is, she's already used up the ksuba by way of sharing with her neighbors, and that only applies, of course, when she's spending time in this household, in the husband's household, but back at home, there's no reason to deduct her ksuba. So, which is the correct approach? Shalach Lehi responded. Number one, b'she'ein shtar ksuba yoytze mitachas yodam achlegis. The issue is only when she's no longer in possession of a ksuba. Aval shtar ksuba yoytze mitachas yodam, but if she's holding on to the ksuba, that's the biggest raya, and she's holding on to her claim. Goyva ksubas loyam, she maintains her ksuba right forever. Number one. Number two, v'aloch g'dibri chachamim, we take the chachamim's perspective in the Mishnah. Ki os Rav Dimi, Omer Rav Shimon Mepas, Omer Rav Shimon Levi, in the name of whom? Mishum Bar Kapara, lo yishono. Back to the Chachamim's approach. That there is Mechila, well, that only applies to what? Elo Mone Umosayim. It applies to the base Ksuba amount. Aval Tosefes Yeshla. But suppose husband added a supplemental amount to the Ksuba, that extra is like a gift, like a Matana, Rashi says. That's not considered Ksuba. I was Mechil the Ksuba. The marriage-oriented commitment, but not the gift that he promised me. That's his shita. So we make that distinction between the base ksuba and the extended ksuba. When mechila was affected, it affects everything. The base and the supplemental. Basically, teisefes is teisefes ksuba. Just as it's described, it's teisefes ksuba. If you lose the base amount, you lose the extra, it's all one package. How do we know? The Omar Rabbi Ivoy, Omar Rabbi Yanai, Tanai Ksuba, any additional Ksuba arrangement is Ksuba Dami. We treat it as the actual Ksuba, there's no differentiation. It's Marnami, we learned as well, Omar Rab Abba, Omar Rab Huna, Omar Rab. So Rab Abba is quoting Rav Huna, who quoted Rav. Lo Yishonu Elamana Masayim. This whole Mechila issue applies to the base amount strictly. Aval Tosef is Yishla, but she still has the extra. Omale. Rabbi Abba, Rav Huna. So apparently, when Rabbi Abba heard this from Rav Huna, who quoted Rav, Rabbi Abba turned to him and said, Rav Huna, Amar Rav Hochi, really? Rav really made this statement? It's kind of surprising. So Rav Huna, not knowing, which direction he was taking, was he approving or disapproving? Sometimes an expression of wonderment can go either way. Amar Leh, so Rav Huna asks Rabbi Abba, what do you mean to ask? Positive or negative? Ishtikun Karmas? Did you mean that, I should remain silent? You're not approving of this distinction? Oh, Ashkayin Kamers. Or was it actually praiseworthy and supportive? Give him a drink of wine. Wow, L'chaim, L'chaim. This is really something that makes sense. So which one was it? Yes or no? Omar Leh, he says, actually, I didn't like what you said. Ishtikun Kam. I mean, I meant, keep it silent because you can't draw a wedge between the main ksuba and the tesefes. In fact, we had it a while ago that Tanai ksuba and ksuba tesefes and ikra are so intimately connected. In fact, the Gemara gives us a full list of, I think, 15 nafkaminas. Why, in what way do we consider the Tanai ksuba? Here it is, and the Fendal Amabez. Amar Abiyanai, Tanai ksuba ki ksuba dami, that the tesefes is treated like the main ksuba. We have a list of about 15 halachas. There's no room for chiluk between the ksuba and the tanai ksuba. You lose the ksuba, you lose the claim to the tanai ksuba as well. Continues the Gemara. Chamsei, the Rav Chiya Aricha. Rav Chiya Aricha, the tall Rav Chiya, that was his name, had a mother-in-law who was married to his brother, who passed away without kids. So technically she's a yivama, but because she was Rav Chiya, the brother, the surviving brother's mother-in-law. That's an erva. We learned in Yevamos not long ago. An erva does not, fall for, doesn't go for Yibam, right? She's not eligible for Yibam. So Chamsi Rav Chiya Aricha, Rav Chiya Aricha's mother-in-law, Intas Ach V'Havoi, she happened to be the wife of his brother, who passed away with any children. V'almono Beveso V'Havoi. She was an almona. She went back home to her parents. Vizona Eshem V'Chamesh Shnin Bebenosh. Rav Chiya Aricha did the right thing, and he went and he delivered Mezainis 25 years running to provide for his sister-in-law back home. That's the Chiya of Mezainis, Tanai Ksuba, right? Any Yerush, Rav Chiya Richa was a Yerush, he inherited his brother's properties, so he's obligated to feed, to provide for the Almana. So 25 years. Okay, 25 years are over. And, you know, she calls up Rav Chiya, she says, where's my food? Amar lo, it's over. 25 years. Less lach mezayin, no more mezaynis. Hav li ksuba, okay, give me the ksuba. Amar lo lai, mezayin islach, you're not deserving of mezaynis. V'lo ksuba islach, nor are you entitled to the ksuba. It's over. 25 years, you're meichel. Because you've never mentioned it until now. Tavase ledina, she wasn't just going to give up. Tavase ledina kamei de rabba bar shila. She summons Rav Chiya Aricha to a din Torah in front of Rabba Bar Shila. Amale. So Rabba Bar Shila turns to Rav Chiya, Emily, please provide to me the details of the story. Easy. Gufa du uvda hechihava. Give me the, you know, the essence of the story. Amale. Well, zanis esrem v'chamesh shonim b'vein osha. I'll tell you the truth. I was a good brother-in-law. I'll provide for her day in, day out. Whatever she needed. All her meals. 25 years in a row. Back at her parents. B'chayi demar, I'm swearing the life of my master, meaning it was a shvua, de b'katfoi em toi lo. A shvua in your life. I personally delivered it, you know, on my shoulders, so to speak. Personal delivery. Daily food delivered by myself to her at her parents. So, I fulfilled my obligations, and now it's 25 years, it's over. Omar Leis, or Baba Bar Shila tells him, well, guess what? You undid yourself. Ta'ama mai amar rabbanan. Why is it? Why is it so that the Chachamim tell us? Kol zman she bebeis balo, goy ba ksubos al olam. Although, if she's back home by her parents, 25 years without a claim, it's over. She's presumed to have forgiven that claim, but if she is stationed in a beis bala, in the husband's, you know, amongst the husband's family, she retains, she maintains her ksuba claim lo'elam. Why? Why that distinction? The answer is, damrinu could you say, mishum kisufa, hu deloy tava. The reason why she hesitated to mention anything ksuba related until this point, she was simply embarrassed. They were serving her, they were treating her with royal respect. She didn't feel comfortable bringing up the topic. So 25 years is no raya for mechila. Hachanami here as well, even though she was back home by her parents, he was so nice to her, he was so generous. Mishum kisufa hu delay tava. For that very reason, she felt uncomfortable bringing it up. And 25 years is no indication of mechila. Zil havla, go provide the ksuba, you owe it to her. Layashkach. So he didn't take heed, he did not follow instructions. Kasav ladrachta anichsin. So the dayan issued to this woman a shtar called Adracht. Adracht means to run, to pursue, to seek any properties that had belonged to her husband, which are committed to her ksuba. She has a right to locate those properties and collect from them. Also, look at the Rabbah. So Rav Chiya Aricha wasn't happy and he went to complain to Rabbah. Amarle, he says, Chazi Mar, do you see Hechi Donan, how Rabbah Bar Shila is treating me, how he paskind? Amarle, so Rabbah says, guess what? He is right on. Shaper Danach. His judgment was accurate and correct. Amr Leh, so the Isha now got a little emboldened. So she says, look, if that's the case, that I was entitled to the ksuba payout from, you know, that moment that I got the Adrachta in my hands. The Adrachta is sort of a document which allows you to repossess any properties. Well, if that's the case, I'm entitled from that moment back on. I want back pay. Leza Lahadali Peri. Let him provide to me all the payers that he ate from that property, which was really coming to me. Dimin hahu yayma. From that day when I got the adrachta, when I was entitled to collect these properties, adayin until today. I want back pay with interest. Amar lo. So Rabbi says, 1 second. Ach vili adrachta. Could you please show me the document? So he proofread the document and he notices something very important missing. Chazei delei avakose ba. It was missing the following expression. Vishtamoid ana, typically the Dayanim, would add the following clause. It became known to us, we were aware, the Nechasim Elu, the Misna Inan, these properties have belonged to the departed fellow, because after all, keep in mind, the Ksuba is meant to be claimed from assets which were left behind by the husband. So Rav Chiya Aricha's personal properties are not committed to her Ksuba. It's only the assets which she had which had come to him from his brother. So the Adrachta is meant to highlight that point. Look, it is known to us that this property actually had formerly belonged to the husband and is committed to the ksuba, and it was missing in the Adrachta. That statement wasn't there. Amrullah, so Rabbi tells her, it's null and void. Adrachta lav shapri ksiva wasn't written properly. You can't even make use of this document. So you can't claim back pay from the moment that the Adrachta was written. It wasn't really a proper document. So you didn't get any schusim, any rights at that point. Amrullah, so she says, okay, ignore the Adrachta, tezel Adrachta, move away the Adrachta, at least, eshkol, ishkol miyoyma deshli miyoyma achrasta, adhashta. So apparently what happened was they gave her an Adrachta, and she located some properties, and they made an achrasta. We learned this last time, they publicize it, you know, they invite the public to bid, and to appraise, and to evaluate. So apparently went through that process, and they arrived at some sort of evaluation of this property, and perhaps the property was never really, it doesn't seem like it was really sold. Actually, Rabbi Chiya Aricha kept on using the property. That's what it seems from the Gemara. So in any case, whatever it is, whatever the circumstance was, the bottom line is, she says, look, I understand the Adrachta, that wasn't really a properly written document. Tezel Adrachta, let's ignore the Adrachta. But at least, I should have a right to this property, starting from, when they completed the appraisal process, when, at that point, I can just, take hold and repossess that property. So from that moment forward, I'm entitled to any produce, any income from that property. Ishkel, I should get, miyoyim adishlimi, starting from the moment, the day where the Yom Achrasta, the days of bidding and auctioneering were concluded, ad ashta until now. So I want some back pay. It's my field. Amar la, so Rava responds further, Hani mili, that's only applicable hechad lo ksiv to usav adrachta, when there is no error discovered in the adrachta. So the whole process was properly set in motion, the adrachta, the achrasta, which gives you the right. Aval hecha de ksif to usa badrachta, but in our case where there was an error, a gross error discovered in the adrachta, which falsely triggered and activated this whole process, les lamba, you can't have any claims of anything relating to the adrachta, to the achrasta, rather we start fresh, going forward, take whatever you find, and it's truthfully yours, but nothing back paid. Amr Leis, she responds further. She was a knowledgeable woman. V'amaru d'amar, you, Rava, yourself, hold. You've told us in other places, achrayus, to sefer. A person wouldn't just lend his money without a full-fledged commitment from the borrower, from the loiva, that all his properties will be committed to this debt, right? So achrayus is the guarantee, which guarantees the malva that he can go and repossess properties upon the default of this loan. Suppose we have a shtar choyv without any achrayus mentioned. Toz sefer, the scribe just omitted it. It was just an oversight. Nobody would lend without achrayus. So you yourself, Rava, considers that to be an omission, something which is so obvious and presumed. Even if it's not in the shtar, we just assume it was really part of the deal. Achrayus toz sefer here as well. Every business is meant to know that you're supposed to focus your claim on the properties belonging to the brother. It's a standard clause in a document. Just because they left it out, okay, it was an oversight. But it's really part of the document, even if it's not in there. Amala Rava, Rava responds to her claim. Look, there's a difference. In contrast to the achrayas, which is just a given, and is applicable even if it's not actually black and white in the document, it's sort of a default understanding. Here, it's different. In our case, leka lememar, we can't apply the idea of toz sefer. You know why? Because the ba'a, when it comes to this question, afilu Rava Bar Shila toy, even a big dayan like Rava Bar Shila who issued your adrachta, it's very possible that he made that mistake. There is no difference between this and that property. You know why? Mikara who suffer, initially he would have figured, Hani v'hani didei. Rab chi aricha had his own properties. He has properties taken from his brother. This and this, it's all his. Mali mahani. Mali mahani. What difference does it make whether he gives you this or that? That perhaps was Rabba Bar Shila's thinking, therefore he did not stipulate, well, we've discovered a property belonging to the brother, it doesn't make a difference. It's this, it's that, give her whatever it is. It doesn't make a difference. So perhaps he purposely omitted that clause. He didn't think it was necessary to identify which karkat belonged to the brother. So it wasn't an oversight. It was deliberately omitted, which makes the document void, null and void. Velohi, says the Gemara, but actually it's incorrect. You have to be particular. You have to be specific in terms of what you're allowing her to collect. We wanted to focus on properties that had belonged to the brother. Why? Zimnin de Azla. Umash b'chaluhu. Because, you know what can happen? Suppose he would give her one of his own properties. And she goes and invests heavily in that property, thinking that it's hers. Udabala, and the property belonging to her former husband, Mikhsafi, the Yerush will just neglect. He has a scheme up his sleeves. I'm going to give her that property, have her invest. I'm going to neglect. I'm not going to take care of the property that that really is coming to her, the property that I got from the brother, from her husband. And then half a year down the line, when he sees that she put in all her effort and improves on that karka, Varmali says, oh, by the way, we did the wrong one. Swap it back. And now he gets a fully loaded property. Varmali tells us, shakil didach, take what's rightfully yours here, this property here, abandoned and neglected. Vavli didin, give me back mine. And she comes up short. Vasi lafuki la'az al-beidin, and everybody will say, wow, this bezin is, it's going to put bezin in bad light. They didn't look after the amana properly. It's not the proper procedure, and therefore we are particular about writing this nusach and the shtar. We've identified a karka from the former husband, which is now going to be forwarded to the amana. And unless you have that in the shtar is not a legal document that has no validity. In this case, he says to the lady, okay, going forward, yes, but no back pay. Hadron al-Lachanaisi. Okay, let's just recap today's daf. We started with the story of Rabbi HaKadosh passing. The only way that he was able to leave the world was when they stopped davening. He lifted his fingers and exclaimed to Hashem in reference to his full-fledged lifetime of effort invested in Torah. We learned about the Malachim who greeted Tzaddikim in contrast to the Malachim who greeted Rishoyim. An Isha has up until 25 years to collect her ksuba. We have two perspectives. Reb Meir learns it's because she's used up the ksuba, because of all the generosity which she had performed with the neighbors throughout the 25-year wait. This only applies when she lived in the home of the Baal of the Yisoyim. But if she's back in her parents, this issue doesn't apply. There's no expiry date there. Chachamim switch it around. The point is Mechila, which only applies when she was living outside. Why'd you wait so long? You were Meichel. But if you're living right here, there's no indication, because we attribute it to discomfort, the fact that they were so nice to her. She steered clear of this sensitive topic, but in no way was she willing to give it up. The Gemara had a machlekes. Let's say she still has the ksuba, whether it's considered Mechila. The Gemara says the halacha is that if she's still holding the ksuba, the chachamim would agree there is no mechila. And we also take on the chachamim's approach to things. It's a mechila-oriented sugya, not Rameir's approach. Then we had the chiddush that the ikar's ksuba, she's mechil benat et esefes. And according to Rabbo, the name of Yechna, no. The ikar ksuba is gone, and so is the esefes. We concluded with the story of Rabbi Chiya Richa, and how important it is to write the adrachta accurately to avoid any misunderstanding and confusion. Hadran Lachanoise. All the best to you and Hatzlacha Rabbah.